Amen and amen. Well, tonight, as I began to go before the Lord and ponder, Lord, what is it that we need to be talking about tonight? What is it that you want me to say to your people? I started to hear a common theme. It really started to, it's like when you hear a small voice and then that voice keeps coming back, and the more you start listening and you fine tune your ears, you start to hear much more clearer. So as I asked the Lord, what did you want me to share? I began to sense the leading to speak on loving God's people. Loving God's people. And the title of this message tonight is Love God, Love His People. Love God, Love His People. And then I began to think of the significance of the name that God gave this church. And I said, Redeeming Love, Redeeming Love. So I often in my teaching refer back to Webster's Dictionary or one of the online dictionaries just so that I can extrapolate what the word may mean and then tie it in spiritually to what that word means. Listen at this. I think you'll find this quite interesting. The word redeem means to obtain the release or restoration of as from captivity by paying a ransom. And then I looked up love. And, you know, there are many definitions for love, but the one that really grabbed me was love means the affectionate concern for the well-being of others. So then the Lord had me put the two together. So I put the two definitions together and listen how it came out. It says to obtain the release or restoration of and from captivity by paying a ransom with the affectionate concern for the well-being of others. I said, hallelujah. Boy, are we at a place in this ministry right now where that should be our mantra. That should be our call and cry, because as we look at this and the time and place where we are in the ministry, we are so very close to the outpouring of people coming into this place. I'll give you an example. How many were here on, it was Wednesday, September 12th, 2001. How many attended Wednesday evening service? Any of you remember what the service was like? Think about it. It's the day after 9/11. How was our service on that night? And that was a Wednesday night. It was one event, but it had a profound effect and got the attention and awareness of people who, in some instances, were very comfortable, very safe in their environment, but their world got rocked by one event. And when you, that was to me an indication that God knew that 9/11 was going to take place. But I think as his people, we were surprised by the outpouring of people that came in that night. So I'm not here standing before you to say that that's what's going to happen in order for the people to come. But I'm just using that merely as an example of what one event in the natural can do. Now, let me just jog your forward thinking for a second. What would it take for a spiritual event? What would the outpouring be if God sovereignly just moved? Can you picture that outpouring? If that was the natural outpouring, how much more would the supernatural outpouring be like? We need to think like that, folks. We need to put our spiritual eyes and ears and thoughts on the movement and the prophetic word that has been spoken. Let's continue. So when we realize that the Lord is waiting on us to get a greater revelation of loving mankind, every race, creed, and tribe, I believe that is when he will entrust us and release the people. We need to have a fond affection for people. God so loved the world. Now, how much more, if we're his representatives in the earth, should we also do likewise? Turn over quickly. I'm going to be reading out some different translations tonight. Please turn over to John 13. I'm going to read verses 34 and 35, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. Follow along with me in your translation, please. Again, stay with me. Please don't just we're going to walk this thing out tonight. Verse 34 says in the Amplified Version, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. So you too should love one another. Verse 35, but by this shall all men know, say all men, shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And then it goes on to say, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Do you remember Pastor Clinton had a song? Love's not just an action, not just a feeling, but an action. We have to put some action to let people know. And then it's only going to be then they will know that we are truly his disciples because we love ye one another. And may I just insert right here, I also believe that that love has to first start in the house. Before I can love somebody coming in, I've got to be able to love my brother who I see every day or I see when I'm in service or whenever I'm here. It has to be extended one toward another because then we're just making noise. We're talking about it, but we're not about it. And that might not be good English for my teachers here, but just flow with me what I'm saying. God became flesh and lives among humanity, not just to have a transaction with people and ultimately die, but to continue to be with them and to send his spirit to be present with believers. So God calls his spirit indwelled people to something greater, something more significant. We are here as redeeming forces on the earth. Our time here is about reclaiming the things he has created. God has spoken some things. And we are at the point as a local church, but also as a body of Christ, where we are going to start to see the things that we have been proclaiming, decreeing, coming to manifestation. When you speak it, because we are getting to a place of faith where we're not just talking, we are declaring and decreeing what we're hearing. So it's one thing if I just say something, but it's another thing either when we speak God's word in faith or when we speak a word in faith. Because the word can be birthed. God will give you a word and that word will be birthed in you. And you'll speak some things out and you're like, where did that come from? It came from your spirit. So it's not about just head knowledge. We're not talking out of our heads from, you know, just something else that we may have learned outside of the word of God. This is his word and we are to declare his word. And when we declare it in faith, we're going to start to see some things. We're going to start to see some things. Turn over with me. Just go over to verse chapter 15 in John. You're right there. Just turn over to chapter 15. Again, I'm staying in the Amplified. I'm going to read verse 12. And again, I'm reading out of the Amplified. This is my commandment, that ye love one another just as I have loved you. Now that'll preach right there, because many of us at times ponder and I think underestimate the true love that God has for us. Because if we knew all the things he did and went through, we would not tolerate half the things that we're going through. We would walk in it's just like if in the natural, I'll give you an example. If we knew someone very close to us who was a millionaire, and if we went to that person and asked them, or they, better yet, not even went to them, if they came to us and said, here's a certain amount of money, whether it was in check or cash, you wouldn't hesitate because you knew that that person had a reputation and they had already established themselves as being wealthy. You wouldn't question if someone walked up to you and gave you that check, you would say, praise God, I receive it, right? You wouldn't say, well, I don't know, is this check good? Is it, you know, I don't know. You wouldn't be pious and give it back. Say, no, I'm okay. I'm blessed. You know, you would take it. Well, the same thing is with God. He's already given you. He's told you. He's defined who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Your needs are met. So why do we then question and wonder, is it for me? We often talk about we are givers, and yes, we are. But one of the things as givers we have to learn is how to receive. Got to learn how to receive. And if anybody we can receive from is our Father, because he's already provided everything we need. What we need to focus on is working to increase your love for all people, regardless of who they are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And again, it's about loving God's people. I want to keep undergirding this lesson with loving God's people. Loving his people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. I'm going to read out the Message translation. And it says, "May God our Father himself and our Master Jesus clear the road to you. And may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does for us to you. May you be infused with strength and purity, filled with confidence in the presence of God, our Father, when our Master Jesus arrives with all his followers." Boy, that's good. That's good right there. May we be filled. May he fill your lives and splash it over. That's to the full, running over until you have more than enough. You can't contain it. That's his love. It's endless. That's what he wants us to be like. However, you know what happens? What hinders us from walking in this type of love? Anybody know? Unforgiveness is good. You know, it's funny, Emmanuel. I got to share this. When I was studying for this lesson, I heard you answer. I'm serious. So that's confirmation. I'm glad you're here. Fear, that's good. Anyone else? Disappointment. Selfishness. Yes, they're all correct, but the one that I want to speak on tonight is selfishness. That's one of the number one things that hinders us from walking in this type of love. Selfishness is a force that works against the love of God. God wants to remove the stony heart or the selfish heart and replace it with a heart full of love. Turn over to our brother Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. And I'm reading this out of the Message translation again. I like the way it read here. "I'll give you a new heart, put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that is God-willed, not self-willed." Oh boy. We need to get a God-willed heart that we are focused on doing what God wants us to do, when he wants us to do it, how he wants us to do it. As this ministry is going through its transformation process, it must start with the people here first. I believe people will respond to love that is genuine and authentic, real. We've got to be genuine. We've got to be real. And God has given us, if I could pass this mic around to every single person here, there is a certain quality and aspect of love that you can demonstrate that no one else can. That's how God wired us. There are certain people that God is going to bring in this ministry that you are the only one that's going to be able to minister to them, because they're going to see something in you that aligns. That's why we don't have to change who we are. God has created us for his purpose and his will to minister to his people. We've got to get it. We don't have to be like anybody else. Be you. Be the best you can be in Christ. That's what God wants. He wants you in every aspect. Let me just give you, here are some keys for us. And again, you'll know them as I start to read them, but I'm gonna got a little twist for you. So one of the keys of this love that we're talking about for loving people is, and I'm glad it's the first one, because I think it's the one that, well, I'll speak for myself. It's the one that I probably need the most work with. And you know which one that is? Love endures long. Now, you know, love is good when you're getting it back. But when you're giving it and you don't feel that it's coming back the same way you're giving it, see, that's when it's got to endure long. See, because that's how the human side of us feels, flesh on flesh. I say hello to you, and you walk by me and don't say nothing. I'm like, what did I do? I'm walking in love, and this person didn't say anything to me. As the kids say, what's up with that? You know? So you continue to do that, and that's when you're talking about it enduring long. But love endures long. Human love is conditional. It's temporal. It wants to be pacified, and it only responds to the same kind that it gives. And it's important that we understand the difference. So how does this tie in? Well, remember, when people come in, a lot of them are hurting. And of all things, they feel the most unloved. So we cannot even begin to expect to receive that carnal, that fleshly type of response, but we must condition ourselves to endure long with our love, regardless of what's coming back. Whereas the God kind of love is unconditional. That agape love. And this is where I want you to think about personally yourself. Think about what you did before you came to Christ and how he still loved us. He still sent his son to the cross for us. Now, there may be a few that lived in the church all their lives, and they're probably the ones that need it the most, because they think it's because of their works. But it's not about his works. It's his grace that he extended. Even when we were yet in sin, he sent his son to die. So this is not about what side of the tracks we came from. It's not about what color our skin is. It's not about how we did from the worst to the best. We were yet sinners, and we needed a savior. Allow the love of God to permeate your relationships. I heard Brother Copeland say to his wife, Gloria, he told her, I'm going to outlove you. I'm going to outlove you. When you're doing it to outlove someone and not outdo someone, that's authentic. That means that you're doing it out of a heart that is pure, not looking for anything in return. I'm doing it because I sincerely love you. Now, that's a relationship, but we can also do that same thing in the natural. And I'm not telling you anything that I'm sure you haven't heard before, but whether it's in a relationship, a friendship, a business relationship, our spirit man can detect fake. It goes off right away. You can tell whether someone's shaking your hand, and particularly if someone's hugging you. When it's real and when it's not. And that should not be in this house, nor should it be in the body. It's time for us to look long and hard, because God is going to release it, and then he's going to hold us accountable. This is a sobering message, but nevertheless, it is so, and so it is. Whenever you're tempted to give up on people because of their mistakes, consider the fact that God would never give up on you because of yours. Number two, love is patient. Love is patient. Love is consistently and constantly the same. It says, I am here forever, even when you fail. And this is one thing that we can all rest assured. Our love will be tested over time. It's going to be tested. Whether you're in a relationship, whether you're in a partnership or friendship, walking in love, it's going to be tested. Selah. Number three, love is kind. And this is interesting. To be kind means that you are disposed to do good to others. You're disposed to do good. I'm not looking to do anyone wrong. I'm always looking to do good. Be kind and forgive, just as God is kind and forgiving. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, please. I'm going to read verse 32 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. And it reads, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tenderhearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. One of the things we also have to remember about being kind is repent when you realize that you have been unkind. Just repent quickly. Get that thing right. Number four, and I might duck when I say this, but love is not envious. Envy always leads to strife. K. confusion and every evil work follows. Where there's envy and strife, not a place that we want to be, folks. There's souls that we need to get to, that need us. James chapter 3, verse 16. James chapter 3, verse 16. Again, we're still talking about envy. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambitions, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. Just by one little thing, envy. Can't afford it. Can't afford it. It's too much to be done. To be envious means to feel pain or discomfort at the sight of another person's success or superiority. Again, man, we talked about at the very beginning, self-assessment, all of us. Envy keeps you from rejoicing when with others and being when others are being blessed by God. Envy will cause you to look for reasons why you deserve what others have. Practice rejoicing with others when others prosper, even if you have to do it by faith. Minister Dolores and I have a saying to one another because we've been around each other serving together, and she'll say to me if something is said, she'll say, Kevin, fix your face, fix your face, fix your face. We can all use that, right? Because there's sometimes, you know, we just react, you know, our face will tell the story. We don't even have to open our mouth. You'll know where we stand just by the reaction of our face. What? You know, and it's, but again, just something to think about. Identify whether or not your problems with others are rooted in envy. Because a lot of times we'll and particularly in the Christian circle, I just don't have it in my spirit to be around someone. Really? Show me that in the scripture. Think about if God, see, we have to think, did God say that? When we weren't like him, he kept trying to woo us. He kept trying to send people across our paths. How much more should we do the same? Follow in his steps and his characteristics the same way he dealt with us. And look at the results. We're here. Praise God. We could have been right back in some of those same places where we thought we were having a good old time. Going straight to hell. Number five, love is not jealous. Jealousy involves feeling uneasy whenever preference is shown to someone else. I will repeat that. Jealousy involves feeling uneasy whenever preference is shown to someone else. I hope I'm not boring anybody tonight. Glory to God. Number six, love is not boastful. To be boastful is to speak in high praise of oneself or of one's possession to glory in oneself. Strive instead to always acknowledge God in all that he does for you. Love is not haughty. A haughty person has a high opinion of himself or herself and shows contempt toward others. Turn over to, just real quickly, Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs 16, 18. Almost done. I promise. Proverbs 16, 18. You've read it before. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Number 7. Love is not conceited. A conceited person entertains a flattering yet erroneous opinion of himself or herself. Love is not rude. Number 8. Now, this was interesting when I got the definition on rude. I never thought of rude as being this, but this is what it says. To be rude is to be rough, rugged, untaught, uncivilized, and violent. Not courteous or mannerly. I never quite thought of rude being that, but praise God. The prophetic word has come forth in declaring the people are coming and the money is coming. We must be accountable to God and to one another to demonstrate the love of God. In order to love others, we must realize that the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And you know that's found in Romans 5:5. No more struggling with, am I loved by God? Because if we don't comprehend God's love, how can we share his love in the fullness that we're going to need to? And those 8 or 10 loves that I just gave you, obviously, you know that comes from 1 Corinthians 13. And we often read that out of the Amplified Version. But what I'd like to do is just close with this. I read this in The Voice. And I don't know if you've ever read it out of The Voice, but I'd like to read it for you. And it says, what if I speak in the most elegant languages of people, or in the exotic languages of the heavenly messengers, but I live without love? Well then, anything I say is like the clanging of brass or the crashing cymbals. What if I have the gift of prophecy, am blessed with knowledge and insight to all the mysteries? And what if my faith is strong enough to scoop a mountain from the bedrock, yet I live without love? If so, I am nothing. I could give all that I have to feed the poor. I could surrender my body to be burned as a martyr. But if I do not live in love, I gain nothing by my selfless acts. And this is some commentary that I thought was important too. Paul boils down all of this into one simple thing for believers in Corinth. And listen to this very closely. Religious people often spend their time practicing rituals, projecting dogma, and going through routines that might look like Christianity on the outside, but that lack the essential ingredients that bring all of it together:
love.
It is a loving God who birthed creation and now pursues a broken people in the most spectacular way. That same love must guide us as believers. So faith doesn't appear to be a meaningless noise. Selah. Verse 4 in the voice. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't envious, doesn't boast, brag, or strut about. There's no arrogance in love. It's never rude, crude, or indecent. It's not self-absorbed. Love isn't easily upset. Love doesn't tally wrongs or celebrate injustice. But truth, yes, truth, is love's delight. Love puts up with anything and everything that comes along. It trusts, hopes, and endures no matter what. Love will never become obsolete. Now, as for the prophetic gifts, they will not last. Unknown languages will become silent, and the gift of knowledge will no longer be needed. It's interesting. It's sobering when I listen to that and I start to think, Lord, when you release the people, how are we? Are we ready? Will we be prepared? Will we be able to step up to in the manner in which God wants us to step up? He needs all of us. Many hands make light work, but far too many of us are sitting in this on the sidelines watching the game being played. We need everybody, all hands on deck, regardless of how tall, how small, how wide, whatever. We need everybody to come forth as one, because you know what? When the people come, they may only be able to get to Sony. They may only be able to get to Janie. They may only be able to get to you. They may not be able to even get to the floor. Will you be prepared to pray with that person? Are we built up and edified? Are we building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, to know, to be sensitive? It's not about a ritual. It's not about dogma. It's about hearing from God clearly to know, Father, I've heard what I need to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, to with all that isn't within me. I'm going to bless his name. We're praisers. We've been taught, and I use that term praisers literally, not praiser singing. We are praisers. God has anointed every single one of us for such a time as this. Training days are over. The whistle is about to blow. The real game is about to start. It's time for us, the church, the body of Christ, to stand up and take its rightful position. No longer standing back, wondering what's going to happen. We're going to be right in the midst of it, making it happen in Jesus' name. We're not going to have time to run and say, what do I do? We may only be able to go Hashanderebosha, Ekandarabosha, and move out. That's where we are, church. The time is now. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be right in the middle of this. And my closing question to you, will you be ready? Will you be ready? I thank you for your time this evening. I pray that you have received something that will encourage you to get closer to the Father, to seek his face, to find out, Lord, what is my role in this? Where do you want me to be positioned? And Lord, prepare me so that when I'm in the midst of it, I won't do what I think I should do, but I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Because when you're doing what he tells you to do, you're going to operate in the anointing he has for you to get the job done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you for your attention this evening. I just thank you that you've received. You've received. You've received. Lord, we thank you. We praise you and honor you. That everything has been said, everything has been done. We've gotten our marching orders. Now we're just going to be prepared. Be ready. Be ready. For the time is coming, and now it is, saith the Lord, that my people are going to rise up. We're not going to be in the back seat. We're coming to the front. We're going to take our rightful positions, and we're going to move out.